This is the Definitely Uncertain podcast, and I'm Darren Rockman. This week, another in our best of series. This time, cybersecurity, a podcast we recorded about a year and a half ago with Professor Yehuda Lindell, who talks about how one can protect oneself from the various threats of cyber infiltrators and other dangers out there in the digital world. A really important podcast that everybody should listen to. Enjoy. This is the Definitely Uncertain podcast, brought to you by Gold Rock Capital. Each week, we look at how high net worth families can improve their lives, decisions, and investments in a deeply uncertain world. We always aim to provide practical information, even if we can't offer specific investment advice. Welcome, everybody, to the Definitely Uncertain podcast. My name is Darren Rockman, and I am a partner at Gold Rock Capital, the 20-year-old multifamily office servicing high net worth families in Israel and around the world. Today on the podcast, I am very pleased and excited to have Yehuda Lindell, Professor Yehuda Lindell, I should say. Hi, Yehuda. How are you?
Good. How are you? Happy to be here.
Great. Well, thanks for joining. So, I'm going to say three things about Yehuda Lindell, the three and in no particular order. First, he's a professor of computer science at Bar Ilan University here in Israel. He's the founder and CEO of Unbound Tech, which is a startup in the field of security and privacy. And importantly to me, Yehuda and I went to school together at Yavne College back in the 1980s in Melbourne, Australia.
A long time ago.
Definitely a long time ago. And actually, it reminds me, I don't know if you remember, the day that we got our first computer at Yavne College. Do you remember this?
I remember studying computer. I don't remember the first computer, but I do remember that our teacher wanted us to use the punch card, so we'd learn about that before we went on to the modern technology of floppy disks.
Exactly. You had to feed the punch card into the reader. And the computer was kept in this room behind the lock and key, and you weren't allowed to go in there without the teacher because it was this, you know, it was like having a satellite or, you know, I don't know, the tablets in the...
It was pretty advanced back then, having a computer in school. That's right. So, you know, that was impressive.
And it wasn't a rich school either. Well, so a big shout out to all those Yavne College graduates who are listening today. And one day you too could end up being a professor of computer science at a great university. So, Yehuda, let's start with tell us how you got to Unbound Tech and how you got to computer science. What a bit about your story?
So my story in computer science, I think you mentioned it, right? I studied it in school. I got really excited about it. I actually had the first Apple Macintosh in 1984. I got that at home. So I was always interested in computers. And I wasn't thinking about the academic route, but in Israel, I did my undergrad, master's, directly PhD at the Weizmann Institute, got interested in cryptography and security. I liked the balance between doing something which has very elegant, pure theory, but is also very applied and very relevant to practice today. And that was my, you know, the way I got into computer science, the way I went into academia. Unbound actually came out of the research that I've been doing in university for years, but I wasn't looking to open a startup necessarily. And actually the story of Unbound relates a little bit to what we're going to talk about later on today. And it goes back to the beginning of it is in 2011, so a long time ago, a good 4 years before Unbound started. But RSA Secure, RSA is this company that creates secure ID, which are these tokens that generate one-time passwords. And they were actually breached. And all of the secrets that he used to generate those one-time passwords were stolen. And this was all played down for a while until it turned out that attackers used that breach to break into Lockheed Martin and steal the plans of the F-35.
Wow.
And that was like, we'll talk about later on why that's related to what's happening now. But that's when I had the first idea that the research that I'm actually doing in university for academic purposes, this is around 2013, 2014, could actually be very relevant to helping in these types of problems.
Right. Well, that's obviously super relevant to what's going on today, because I think as everybody's seen,
A couple of weeks back, the media reported a massive data breach, apparently emanating from Russia, which attacked, I think it was 85 US government agencies and corporates, including Microsoft, for example. So can you, in layman's terms, just explain to us what happened?
Yeah, so the first thing is you have to understand what a supply chain attack is. And often when we think about attacks, it's actually often helpful to compare cyber attacks to physical attacks. So if I wanted to break into your bank, one thing I could do is try to break directly in and come in with guns and break through the front door and steal your money. That would be like a direct attack. Another thing that I could do is plant someone in the bank to collude with me in order to steal money. And a supply chain attack is something like that. The idea is that I'm not necessarily going to try to break into your systems directly. Rather, what I'll do is I'll plant a backdoor, something in software that enables me to get in something that you buy. And then when you install that, the backdoor is already there and I can break directly into you and get everything that I want. That also explains why I can get into numerous different organizations. So this was a classic supply chain attack where the Orion software that's built by SolarWinds, very popular software for IT administration, had a malicious component built into it by someone external. And then when government agencies and other organizations installed that software, it enabled attackers to get in and then do lots of horrible things.
Right. But of course, when you get your guy working with you in the bank, you still got to get the money somehow out of the vault and then out of the bank itself so that you can sort of cart it away. So how did that happen?
So here's the way it worked pretty much. There's this Orion software. The first thing that the attackers did is they bypassed what's called the code signing mechanism. One thing, think about when you update your app on your phone or when you have a software update. You want to make sure that it's actually legitimate software, right? Otherwise, someone could, you know, send you something and say, oh, you have to update your Windows machine. Here's a Windows update. It's actually not Windows at all, but it's malware. So how do you know? Something called digital signatures and code signing, which is a cryptographic way of telling you, don't worry, this really was issued by Microsoft or this update. Okay. And they managed to get, the attackers managed to bypass that system and get use of the legitimate key for signing on this malicious component. So now this malicious component looks to you like it's legitimate, but nobody knows about it.
Okay.
And that was now installed at, you know, the US Treasury Department, all these other places. And then that malicious component they put in enabled them to go and remotely log into those systems. Okay. And once they did that, they now did something else, which was they stole the key that's used to authenticate different users. So something called a SAML certificate. I won't go into the details of what it is, but there's, you know, you
basically like, they're now issuing passports.
Exactly. So now what happens is that the attackers can use that key to say, here, this is a legitimate user of the system. Let them go and do whatever they wanted to.
Uh-huh.
And they could and then you basically a legitimate user as far as they're concerned. You can do everything that you want.
Okay. So we had this report, I think a week later, there were several reports of a hack at Israel's military industries, which is obviously a highly secure and sensitive organization. When you take these two reports together, they give the impression to the layman that the bad guys can get into almost anywhere. Is that the case?
To some extent, unfortunately, I'm going to say to some extent, yes. But it's not as simple as that, right? And again, the comparison or the analog between the physical world and the cyber world are important. There's no such thing as 100% physical security either. In Israel, we're well aware of that. You can't completely stop terrorism. If someone really wants to attack, you can't completely stop it. What you can do is just make it hard enough or difficult enough that the damage is limited. But you can never, ever completely solve this problem. This is a problem that we are going to have to always live with. Right. Having said that, I think that it's important to distinguish a lot of things. Firstly, not all hacks are equal. So I don't know if you remember every year or so, this anonymous group attacks Israel. They don't attack Israel. They bring down websites. They deface websites. And you know, with the IMI attack also, I don't know. Maybe something big happened there that I didn't comment. But All that we do know is that they defaced the website. That's not a really serious attack.
That's the criminal equivalent of vandalism, right?
Exactly. What's really showing we can get you. Now, if they got into the system to do that, the question you always ask is, could they do other things as well? Right. But there are separations. Like the web server is actually something which is pretty public facing, so we often separate it from the rest of the system. Like it's called a demilitarized zone. Actually, DMZ in the cyber world as well.
Right. Just because you can vandalize a park, it doesn't mean that you can vandalize the office of the mayor.
Exactly. And so not all attacks are equal. Sometimes they're very devastating. And a really strong, what we call APT, Advanced Persistent Threat, coming out of a country like Russia, that's very, very difficult to prevent if someone really wants to go after you. Okay. However, the SolarWinds attack was a little bit different. The SolarWinds, they managed to get into many places. And SolarWinds actually made multiple mistakes that I think we can learn from. It's not just saying, this is life and we have to live with it, but it appears that their security posture wasn't very good. They didn't have a CISO, which is, especially considering what the type of customers they have, how could they as an organization not have a CISO?
A CISO is
a chief information security officer.
Okay.
So they didn't have one person, an executive, who sits on the executive whose sole responsibility is security.
Right.
And there's no excuse for that in organizations of that size today. They had cases of employee passwords posted publicly on the web by mistake. It was in 2019. There was a report that they had a server that had the password was SolarWinds123. And if you got it, so this is an organization that didn't take security seriously, or at least that's the way it looks.
Right.
And vendors buying, if you're buying from such a vendor, you need to actually ask the right questions to ensure that they do take security seriously. And when they don't, you should think twice. I'll give you just a small example from us as a startup. It's just we're a small company, but it's important to take these things seriously. So we wanted to get an HR system, like an HR SaaS system. And one of the things that I asked in every organization that we spoke to is I asked, have they done security reviews? Have they done what's called pen testing? And can we see those reports? And one of the organizations actually was our favorite. And when I saw the report, there was a whole list of problems they found. And they decided they're only going to deal with the most severe. And the other ones, some of them that are actually quite serious, they're afraid if they fix everything, they'll break other things. And we didn't buy from that vendor. Because if you take security seriously, you have to ask the right questions also about who you're buying.
Okay.
So there are no guarantees with things that you can do things better.
Okay. So now let's turn to some of the concerns that investors and people in the financial world may have. You mentioned before that one of the attacks was on the US Treasury, which is, you would think, the most secure and sensitive financial institution. So, how secure are banks? How secure, all of our money is effectively digital, except for the stuff we keep, as they say, under the floorboards. How secure are banks? How secure are financial information? And do investors have cause for concern? And what are they?
So I think everybody has cause for concern. There's nobody who should be ignoring this problem in general. And if you're concerned, that's already a very good first step. And the reason for that concern is because in general, apart from the fact that we've seen that it's getting worse and worse, law enforcement relies on two things. It relies on prevention and deterrence. But deterrence is the main thing, because the reason I don't rob a store, apart from the fact that I don't like to steal because I'm ethical, but if we put that aside, it's much less about the fact that I think a policeman's going to walk in right when I'm carrying out the act, but much more about that I'm going to get caught later on. But cyber criminals are all around the world. They're in places that we don't have jurisdiction. We can't get to them. So this is the concern, and it's just going to get worse. Things like ransomware, where someone installs malware on your machine and encrypts all of your information, and if you don't pay them, they won't open it for you. That's becoming a big concern. I don't think there's any board who should be ignoring this. Every board should be asking their company, what do you do about ransomware? What do you do about security? What measures do you have in place? So all of that is very important. It doesn't mean that you can solve the concerns, but you can do a good job. And if we go now to the banks and financial organizations, if you think about the big traditional ones, they're actually typically conservative and quite advanced. So they're the most advanced. It doesn't mean that information won't be leaked. The chances, though, of money being stolen that the bank won't be able to give back to you is very, very low. If someone via the bank system steals your money, then you'll get that money back. If it's via your system because you were careless, you put your password on your screen or you were, or something like that, then that's a more difficult question.
Okay. So now let's talk a little bit about what you guys are doing at Unbound Tech. I want to come back to the security for investors in a minute, but this is part of the mission statement of your company. So what are you actually trying to do to solve it in layman's terms?
Yeah, so what Unbound primarily does is protects and takes care of the keys that provide the security for privacy and for integrity, all these digital signing and encryption. Those secret keys, if you steal them, everything is lost. That was what we talked about. If you stole the key that's used to issue tokens to allow people to carry out operations, you can do everything that you want. So we protect them, and we have a lot of advanced properties like ensuring that usage of keys is according to policy, that you can ensure that only the right person is allowed to use it at the right time, what makes sense. We enable this protection of keys to be anywhere on all computing environments. So therefore, security being easy to use is extremely important. When it's hard to use, it doesn't get done. Right. So that's also very much about part of our mission is making cryptography, which is really a cornerstone of computer security, accessible, easy to use, and provide powerful controls around those cryptographic systems.
Right. And this solution is available for companies, for large institutions. Who's it aimed at?
So it's available obviously for everyone, but it's more suited to enterprises who have a team that know how to manage in general these types of keys, and you're running software internally. If you're a small organization, you're often buying SaaS. You don't actually run many systems yourselves, and we don't provide a service. We provide actual software that you run in house. Larger enterprises always do that, so it's very suited for that.
Right. Okay. And this is all based, I assume, on the research that you've been doing for years and years.
Yeah. So the core technology is based on research that 20 years, again, showing our age. 20 years of research.
We were just in the playground about 3 days ago, as far as I remember.
Yeah, 3 days. So that's certainly part of the main part of the core. But as with any good software solution, it's the core is something that the customer doesn't necessarily see. That just enables them to get something that works the way they want it to. And the be able to provide a very broad platform, a unified solution to many of these similar problems in an organization, that's the great software engineering team that we have now.
Well, that's been really hugely helpful in helping people understand what's going on and where some of the weaknesses are. If we move sort of to the practical area, for individuals and particularly for high net worth investors that have significant assets and hold the keys to lots of different bank accounts and things like that, what are some of the things that they can do in order to, you said that you can't completely rule out, but to try and improve their chances of not getting hurt by a cyber attack or a ransomware attack?
So I have a list of things that I can tell you, but I want to start with the most important thing. And the background, the context for the most important thing is that in the same way that we educate ourselves and our children about physical safety, we need to educate ourselves and our children about cybersecurity. And if we don't do that, we don't have any chance. So the first thing I would say, especially for the type of the audience that we're talking to here, get professional help. This isn't something which is, I'll read an article in a newspaper about cybersecurity tips for 2021, right? That's garbage. Right? Get professional help. Get someone who'll advise you, who'll look at your systems, who'll help you set up something that will ensure that you're safe, who ensure that you have backups as well so you won't lose your data in the case of a ransomware attack, ensure that your authentication systems are the way they should, that you're using multi-factor authentication. There are many different solutions out there, but individuals who aren't security professionals, you can do some things, and I'll give you some ideas. But the most important thing is get help. Get someone professional. At Unbound, we're security professionals. We have an external advisor to verify our security posture across the company. So it's if we do that, then you know, the everyday person who has significant net worth should also always be doing that.
Sure.
Beyond that, I think, again, without going into things like, yeah, make sure that you're using strong passwords for your important accounts. And don't confuse your important accounts and your garbage accounts. If you have a password for your newspaper account, that can be garbage. Okay? That can be Darren123. It doesn't matter. But make sure
that that's not my bank account one. That's Darren321.
Right, exactly. And make sure that your other passwords are very good and use multi-factor authentication, and make sure that you're careful about phishing and what you download and what you click on. All of that is, that's pretty standard. But I think it's the awareness which is most important. Assume that everything that you do may be exposed. Okay, so when you have, when someone calls me or someone sends me an email and says, you know, can you give me a reference on this person? If it's a good reference, I'll answer by email. If it's a bad reference, I'll say, give me a call. Make sure that, and this again relates to awareness, make sure that security is something that's really important, not just a checklist. Many people have like this checklist. Do you encrypt? Yes, great. But what does that mean? You know, where do you keep your data? How do you protect it? There's much more. So make sure that when you're interacting, when you're buying a system, for example, you have someone who really understands security to make sure that they really understand and care about security. It doesn't mean it'll be perfect. That'll put you in a much better position.
Right. Okay. Well, fantastic. Well, Yehuda, thank you very, very much. That was, firstly, really eye-opening, a little scary, but it's good to know that super smart people like you are on the case and trying to help us all stay safe, and the good guys should win.
Thank you very much.
And best of luck with Unbound. I hope that's a huge success. And thanks, everybody, for listening, particularly those from Yapna College. And you'll tune into further episodes of the Definitely Uncertain podcast as they come out. Wishing everybody a safe, healthy 2021. Hope everybody gets the vaccination really soon. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you.